हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so when we're dealing with all these different philosophies, we have to remember that these are something that's there every creation. Right? It means you're always going to have the six schools, just like you have earth, water, fire, air, and ether. You know, you're going to have, you know, I say, hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. You're going to have lions, tigers, and bears. You know, whatever. It's always the same. So in the same way, there's always these six philosophies. Right? They're always there. They're just a particular combination of the modes that these six then satisfy the basic, you know, at least pious ideas that people have for karma or jnana. So they're very standard, straightforward things. They always have the same ideas, the same arguments. So it's not that it's something different, unique, it's special, or it's something very difficult. It's just a standard thing. It's a standard philosophical disease. Yes.
Do we have anything special that's outstanding, or it seems that everything is always the same?
It depends upon what it means, which sauces you put inside when you put the material world is always the same. That's why it said chewing the chewed. So for us, because it's a new chew, yes. Like that, you know, how you say it's like the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. You know the Mad Hatter's Tea Party? So there's a Mad Hatter, I think there's the Wild Hare, and I forget who's the third one, the Dormouse or something like this. So they have a tea party. There's a big, long table. It has so many settings. In like, I don't know, one of those big, you know, like 10, 12 setting tables, you know, for tea. And so they're all sitting in their place. And then they finish their tea. And after they finish, then they shift over one seat. You know, so it's a new setting. It's a new like that. And then they have their tea again. And they just keep going around the table like that. And they never wash it. That's the important thing. You just move to the next one. So that's what the material world is. So uniqueness is being Krishna conscious. Now that's something no one else is doing. So if you want to be special, you want to be unique, you want to stand out, be Krishna conscious. Because that's not happening. Because that's what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made the point, that the only thing that's, rare in this world is Krishna consciousness. Everything else is available. We may not be able to get it due to our karma, but it's not that it's not there. You know, does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. So this striving to be unique, but it's by the modes, because let's say someone's being unique today in what they wear, what they do, or what they speak, or, you know, how they keep their hair. Then today everyone thinks, oh, that's so nice and special. But, you know, after 6 months or a couple of years in that, everyone looks back and goes, that is so stupid. You know what I'm saying? So that's what happens, is that this uniqueness then is just the change of the modes. So that's why the material, there's not really anything overly special. You may have a particular combination of the modes that others may not have, but it's still standard sets of modes. You know, they'll always be there. There's always those experiences. You know, does that make sense? You know, it's like it is that you know, there'll always be an Elvis, you know, whether his name is Elvis or it's, you know, Hernandez, you know, whatever it is, but he's always there. You know, all these things are always there. All these different mentalities, all these different groups, you know, so the Germans are there, the French are there, the Italians are there, you know, everybody's there. It's just what they're called, you know, and all that is another thing. Does that make sense? And so like that, it just goes through. Because it's said that after you spend, let's say, in Kali Yuga now, you do your activities, and because of the non-modern activities, it's not considered overly pious, so you end up going to hell for some time. After that, going through the species of life that are, you know, required for that, then you'll come back to human life, right? And where will you come back to human life? The same exact spot that you went down from. So that means it's another Kali Yuga, and you'll be the same guy living on, you know, whatever it is, you know, 31, you know, how you say, Apple Road or whatever it is like that, and your two-story, you know, condo like this and that, and you know, you have your, you know, Porsche, but now it's not called Porsche, it's some other name like that, you know, it's a Juliet or, you know, something, you know, like that. So, you know, like this, it's just, it's there. And so the same opportunity to do the same thing is there. And if you do, then again, you go through the same thing. And if you kind of somehow don't think, well, I don't want to do that, then it moves on. So that's the thing. It's just chewing the chew. It's the same old thing. We think it's something special in that. But, you know, it's not so much.
You know. Maharaj, We find that for every path, when it begins, we have the Mangalacharan by the
day. Yes.
Why is it that it is not only once when the book begins, and why for every path? Because usually the system is that it's only once, you know, when we start off with the work.
You have your general concept that before starting a work, then you have a Mangalacharan, right? Now, in doing that, and generally speaking, there's a verse. But we see that Vyasadeva himself in the Bhagavatam uses three verses like that. And we see that many times the Acharyas, then they use many. Like Krishnas Kavya uses 17 verses for the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So the minimum standard is one verse at the beginning and a reflecting verse at the end. And so then it's done. You know, in that it should say what's the subject matter, you know, who's qualified to study this and what they can do with this after, who's the deity of this, and all that's there. So just that's the minimum that is there. Does that make sense? You know, just like some rice, there was some aloo siddha, that's, you know, minimum, right? You know, for some lunch or something, or some chapatis and dal. But you can't add other stuff. So the point is before you begin, then you have a Mangalacharan. So the beginning of the work, then it has that, but these sections, because they're so specific in their nature, then if they each have their own Mangalacharan, then there's not a problem.
And moreover, the Mangalacharan also has one of the aspects of Phalashruti, you know. But here, we don't have any Phalashruti for the reader.
Why do you say there's no Phalashruti?
Because he's only praying for himself, not for the readers.
And so then the readers themselves wouldn't see that this is what you should do, seeing that there's stuti and stava, and you're supposed to understand and what the acharyas do, then make your own prayers and stuff like that.
Because usually Rupa Goswami and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami usually specify, you know, that this is what the readers really attain.
But who are the readers of this? What do they want? Vedanta Sutra. Do they want lordship over the world? They want, you know, to be king of the Vaishyas? Do they want to be famous amongst the Shudras? Do they want, you know, happy, healthy, and wealthy family members and like that? And that's enough. You understand?
The Phalashruti can be understanding of Vedanta Sutra itself.
What about that is taking shelter of that Krishna becomes one's shelter? See, is that one has to understand is that when you're doing these things, it's a general rule, and how most people do it are general because they aren't that inspired. They're intelligent, they can do the work, and they do a nice job. You know, it's just like in the world, there's tons of musicians. How many are known? There's tons of artists. How many are known? You know, there's so many. I mean, it's just like these big, like, classic, you know, artists and stuff like that. There's so many of them. We've never even heard of them, but they're very major. They do, like, you know, someone like Bernini. You know, whoever hears a Bernini. You hear Michelangelo. You hear, what's the other guy? With the B, you know.
Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah, Da Vinci and like that. And you hear these few like that, but Bernini did stuff, you know, just the same as them. It's just as prominent. You don't hear about it. You know, so same with artists. There's so many, you just don't hear about them. And these are the major ones. But on the planet, there's millions of them. So in the same way, but it doesn't mean they're not decent artists. But it's not outstanding. So the point is everybody does the standard thing, but those who are outstanding, then they'll do something more. It means we're saying that, he didn't give the fala shruti, but he gave a mangalacharan at the beginning of each one of them. Who does that? So that's not special. So it's like he can't do more, he can't do less. You know, so we take what they do, we follow that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
Now, I have a question about the six philosophy. Because to discuss this six philosophy, we need to have some type of piety.
Yes.
But usually in our modern world, there is lack of piety. So it's difficult to... So this way we are mainly Mayavadi, Buddhist, nihilist. You know?
Yes.
I mean, outside the six philosophy.
Because it means the six philosophies as they are, then they'll only be prominent when someone is a theistic moralist.
Yes.
Because you have to accept the Vedas, yes. You have to accept that they're supreme.
Yes.
And so then there's natural laws of the universe.
Yes.
So accepting that, then these schools will make sense. They're still incomplete, but they'll be as complete as you can get with material thinking. Material facilities. Then when you drop below this into the moralistic atheist, then you'll get parts of this and put together however they like, whatever they like. So it becomes more distorted.
Yes.
So the here is that the elements that they're using aren't specifically distorted, but how they're using them are distorted. But once you drop below that, then it starts to even the things themselves get distorted. When they get down to anamoy, then it's very distorted. So that's the idea, is the human life begins at the theistic moralism. That's where it begins, because below that, the tools being used are so distorted. Like let's say we discuss community. So community is about, you know, how we get together, the relationships, all those different things like that. So that's a nice thing. It's a good thing. But the difficulty comes up is that we want human experience, but we don't want to follow human life. Right? Because something becomes better the more you restrict it. Right? If it's just anything goes, then it's like if I have a party and anybody can come, it won't be as good a party as if it's a selected group of people. Because then it'll have a particular flavor, it'll have a particular thing. You know? So like that, then the more it's restricted, the more it actually gives results. So that's the whole point. So by your austerity, you get results. But the modern thing is no austerity, full results. But how is that possible? It doesn't work in any sphere. Right? So then, so when you drop below, even though they have these things, it will not give a good result. So you can't have actually the community and all that, which is the whole point. It's not the ultimate point. The ultimate point in pranamoy is just extended sense gratification. In other words, I can work on my own and do and try to get sense gratification. And the next line, neighbor, in the next cave over, he does the same thing. But the difficulty comes up is we'll be doing the same work and getting just a little bit for ourselves. But if we combine and work together, we can actually get more volume. Does that make sense? You know, so like that. So then that's the whole idea is that they're trying to do is that extend the sense gratification. So therefore the social concepts that they work together are only for that purpose. They don't have another purpose. So it's only when you get up to the theistic moralism that at that point then the morality is in line with God. Otherwise, previously the morality is simply in line with the economics that I can get sense gratification. And to make sure that it works out properly, that people don't that follow the rules, then there's justice. Like that. Does that make sense? But the whole idea is that it's not about anything else other than the morality itself and what I can gain from it. So the theistic is similar, but it's accepting at least God's premise that it's His laws. So we can't just say as, well, nowadays people don't do like that, so we can't do that. You know, there's too much of that. So it's one thing is you go in and you deal in a way that's there. It's another thing to authorize it. Just like, let's say, when Prabhupada went to Butler, you know, when he first went to America. He's staying at that family's house, the Agarwal's house. And so, you know, he's cooking for himself because they're not cooking anything that we would want to offer. So they give him, you know, the lady of the house to clear some space on one shelf for him to put his stuff. And so that's his place that he put all this stuff, and he'll cook and stuff like that. But everything else in the fridge is not, you know, something we won't even have in the house, let alone right next door. But that's what he's doing. But as soon as he has his own facility, then it's not, oh, it's Kali Yuga, this is the way people live, it doesn't matter. No, immediately then you follow. So the whole thing is there's a difference between in here, because we're taking it, moralism is one thing. No, moralism simply means codes of conduct that restrict for bringing about some variety of elevation. But elevation in what? That's the question. So if it's elevation in sense gratification, that's going to be your atheist. Because it's not about God, it's just whatever we find works for us to get what we want. And so that's speculative, because depending upon who we are, it changes. And whoever's in a position of authority, then they change it. Because it's whoever's there, you have one authority. Then it doesn't go well, the other group gets upset, so then they come in, take over, and now they change it. But the basic premise of sense gratification, that's going to remain. But just how you get that sense gratification, that's going to differ. You know, it's just like, is this available for everybody or only for certain people? You know, or how, all these different things are there. So that kind of thing is purely speculative. So it's not about God. So even though you may accept God, because if there's God, then He's more of a regulator and people will follow the laws better. But it's still about how God supports your moralistic standard. Not about how I have to bring my moralistic ideas in line with God. So that starts at theistic moralism, where I follow the Vedic version, I follow the scriptures. Then at that, scripture says, I have to bring myself in line with that, rather than questioning it, well, is it actually practical? Scripture says this, but is it actually practical for me? So we're starting with ourselves and then applying to scripture, rather than starting with scripture and then applying it to ourselves. So even though you're going through the same steps, but because you're going backwards, the effect is different, right? So I, let's say just like this, I have my standards. Let's say I have 10 standards. You know, these are my, what I do. And so then, if we're talking about atheistic moralism, but it's say pseudo-theistic moralism, where they accept the supreme but not so much, it's still, I'm only going to accept the Shastric evidence that's in line with my 10 points. And the ones that aren't, I'm going to ignore. I'm going to say, oh, it's Kali Yuga, or it's not important, or we chant Hare Krishna, we don't care about the rules, or we're not fanatic. Or, you know, I'll use one of those. But for the ones that do support what I do, oh, no, this is written in stone, this you have to do, everybody's got to do it. Well, the theistic moralism is the Shastra says this, how to bring what I need in line with that and how to find. It means I have to work harder. I want what I want, but it's not just I get it the way I want it. I have to adjust to make it work. And so he says, oh, but that's not natural. But then by that definition of natural, that's anamoy, where it's just whatever you feel like. It's just animals. You know, the dog, you know, he likes what's on your plate. But he comes in when you look the other way, he comes and takes it. He's being natural. So is this what we're talking about? I would say, no, no, we're sophisticated, we're cultured. So that means there's rules. That means you're restricting the natural. You know, because when it comes, babies probably left on their own accord probably wouldn't take bath, probably wouldn't be changing diapers, probably wouldn't be putting on powder, probably wouldn't be combing their hair. You know, wouldn't be washing their hands after eating, wouldn't probably use their hands to eat. You know what I'm saying? So, like that, if they grew up, then you could say, now that's natural, right? They don't comb their hair, you know, the whole thing, you know. You know, you only get a bath if it rains or you happen to fall in a puddle. Then, you know, that's your bath. You know? So that would be it. But the whole point is they'll restrict, but only restrictions that support their values. So if it's a Vedic where they have to adjust for the Veda, forget it. This is not practical. But where the Veda has to adjust for them, now that's practical. We're just being natural here. We're just being practical. We're just, you know, we're being thoughtful here. We're sophisticated. We're intelligent, and we can work these things out, how to adjust the Vedas for us rather than adjust us for, oh, if we adjust ourselves for the Vedas, oh, that's archaic, oh, that's so, you know, it doesn't give the freedom, the natural, where's the individuality, and, you know, all these kind of things, because it's just a whining about themselves. So that's the difference between the two, is that morality is there. Now, devotees' morality is only to please Krishna. So therefore, all the different rules and regulations are because Krishna gave it. The karmis and jnanis, they follow it. God gave the rules and regulations, and they're willing to follow them because they want karma or jnana. But they accept him as authority. Just like you want to get a driver's license, then you go down to the authority, local authority, and you get your license. So you're willing to do that, but it's not that you care about the authority. You'll respect them as long as it takes to get to your feet. You'll be nice, you'll be pleasant, ask them how they are, how are the kids. But once you get your license, you'll never see the guy again. Like that. So that's the difference, is that God may be included, but, and they may believe in God, but they just, after, only up to a point to get their work done. So only devotional service is the actual moral person who, they see the laws of God in connection with pleasing God. So that's why you follow these laws of God because he's given it and that, and you don't oppose them because they don't match my lifestyle. Now, it's not that you don't adjust the new people who come in. They take their lifestyle and as they start to add Krishna consciousness. And as you said, unless you're pious, you don't understand these things. So some of the rules, they may not understand till they become purified. And so therefore, yes, we start from wherever they are, and then you gradually elevate them. Right? But if we say, no, they're at this level, it's natural for the being at this level, we should leave them at this level, that's not preaching, that's attachment. That's all. That's laziness. That's in not willing to put in the effort to figure out how to make it work. It's not, though we talk about the individual, it's very generic because everybody's got to be like this. Rather than one guy's more advanced, one guy's less, one guy advances quicker, one guy. This guy's been around 15 years and not so advanced. This guy's been around 6 months, quite advanced. You know, like that, or he's advanced but still kind of, you know, lives a Western lifestyle, but this person is living very nicely, a Vedic lifestyle, but not very advanced. So all that variety, then if you're properly following on the platform of pure devotion, then it becomes very easy. Because it's very individual, you have to work, you have to apply it, you have to use your brain. Each one is different. Does that make sense? That's why bureaucracy is so attractive and popular, because everything's the same. You don't have to think about it. It's just, there it is there, that's the way it applies. I don't have to make it individual. Though, the same people who are into that, they talk about individuality. That's the fun part. That's the fun part. You know, I always thought bureaucracy went with conservatives. But no, bureaucracy goes with liberals. It's really, really weird. But that's just how the modes work, is that Maya makes that which is not. So it looks like one thing, but it's another. So it looks like it's all about morality. It's about sense gratification. It looks like it's all about accepting and following God's laws, but it's all about karma and jnana. So only bhakti is actually the natural thing, that you're following God's laws to please God. That's the real position. And so, like you say, it takes piety, but it's spiritual piety. And that's gained by chanting. So if we hear and chant, then that will work nicely. So that's why that aspect, if that's there, everything else will follow. So, yes.
I've been really trying to understand this, like, you know, you were saying that one is from starting from ourselves and then putting Krishna, and one is starting from Krishna. I was trying to see if I'm doing that, but yeah, I just like, you know, starting from Krishna thing. So, of course, we're devotees, so we're starting from Krishna.
Yes, means if the authority is Krishna.
Yeah.
And it's coming down as to please Krishna or accept the Shastras and all that, then it's, we're starting there. Then we see how to situate ourselves so that we can take part in the process. What's the best position?
Yeah.
Like that. That is there. But we'll see that some have maintained attachment to their previous lifestyles or up-and-coming modern lifestyles that they find attractive because, you know, they want to be up-to-date, not beat, and, you know, with it and all that. Like, I remember seeing one thing is they're doing this preaching with these professors and all that kind of stuff. All the professors, and I don't know if you've dealt with professors, they all just stand there. They talk. They don't move their hands much. They just stand there. I mean, of course, if you were in Bologna or something, then they'd be moving their arms like anything. But outside of Italy, they just stand. They're very formal. I remember seeing the devotee. He's talking to them, and he makes a point. And then the devotee does the thing, you know, where you take your hands and stick out your fingers, you know, like, you know, hey, yeah. But that's a corporate thing. So he's using corporate, you know, things with these academics. And it just looks so weird. He's such like, we're supposed to be the sadhus and all this and that. So we're on a actually more mature level of, you know, intellectual level than them. Because they're intellectual, but only in the material level. And we're intellectual and on the spiritual. And here he's doing all these you know, what do you call it? Corporate gestures. You know, and along with that, you know, you lean back. And yeah. You know, it's like, it's kind of like, oh, what's going on here? You know, so that's the funny thing. It's probably those professors there all will relate more with European culture than they will with that American culture. But we're being, you know, up to, yeah, we're being, no, but they expect, you know, we're sadhus. We don't do that. You know, the priest doesn't do that. You know, so that's, yeah. So that's what I'm saying is that we maintain this and think it's all happening and it's all, you know, like this and that. But at the same time, it's just adding a little passion to the ignorance so it seems like something's going on. You know? Now, if that's just our natural, the way we are, then that's fine. People will be comfortable with that. Like that. If you're just following what you do and that's how you would function, that's okay. But to take these on, that these are important and more important than our tradition, then why we would do that?
Okay.
You know? Because if we follow Western tradition, why can't we follow Vedic tradition? I mean, is the principle following tradition or not? Because if it's tradition, then it doesn't matter what it is. Then it's about following tradition that's appropriate for us. But if it's not about that, it's just, if it's not about tradition as a principle, then we can see it's about attachment as a principle.
Yeah.
It's not about tradition, because otherwise in these different situations, you'd follow the tradition for that.
Yeah.
But if it's no, I want to follow whatever I do, wherever I am, like that, you know. So then that wouldn't work.
Okay, so if you're not doing that, that means that you're doing the putting Krishna first. And
it's just where you start. It means we're going to put more emphasis on our adjusting with it, but we're still starting with the principle of Krishna. But with time, we'll put more emphasis on Krishna and less on ourselves because we don't need to, because we know what to do, and it's just we're so absorbed in Krishna, we're not worried about it. But that comes with time.
Am I doing that?
It's just a matter you have to see yourself. It's just a matter of how much time it takes.
Okay.
I wouldn't worry, because we're talking about eternal time. So a few years here is a drop in eternal time. So Mangalacharna by Srila Bhagavad Vibhushan. You also have to remember is that Govindaji has spoken these things, and then he puts something, prayers and other things like that. So if there's, you know, if you, I wouldn't get too bent out of shape, because it's Govinda's the one who's spoken the text. Yeah. Duryuktita dononaja bana vik satam parikshitam ya sputam utara shrayam. Sudar Shanena Shuti Maulim Avyatam Vyadat Sakrishna Prabhur Astume Gatihi. So Gatihi is not a result?
Yes.
Translation. With his Sudarshan Chakra, Lord Krishna protected the great devotee Parikit, who within Uttara's womb was wounded by the arrows of the wicked son of Drona. Lord Krishna made him free from all suffering and enlightened him with his crest jewel of Vedic knowledge. I pray that Lord Krishna may become my shelter. So he freed him from all suffering by he became absorbed in Krishna, because that's how he got his name Parikit, because he was always looking for Krishna. Right? And the crest jewel of Vedic knowledge, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So then he's the one who the Bhagavatam has spoken to, so Krishna gave him that. So like that, then may we in this line become, take shelter of Krishna. With a perfect knowledge of his scriptural analysis, Krishna Dwaipayana Vyas protected the Upanishads, which contain the answers to all questions, and which were wounded by the arrows of the black crows of false logicians. Lord Vyasadeva made the Upanishads free from all suffering. I pray that Lord Vyas may become my shelter.
It says here in the note.
By carefully using certain ambiguous words, Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan has composed the verse so it has two distinct meanings. Being taken this way, it's a standard thing among scholars. I remember we were in South India, and the Brahmins are all, you know, putting together, you know, for a puja and that, and so they're sitting around and doing things. And so there's a famous verse that they all use about Ganesh. I don't know the verse, but there's a verse, and so then someone will say the verse, and then he will give a translation based on the words and the grammar. And very nice, you know, like this. And then someone else will take it and apply the grammar differently, break the words differently, and come up with completely different meaning. So you know, and one of them is talking about that, you know, because when you see Ganesh, you become happy because all auspiciousness is there and all this and that. And there's something about white in that. I'm not sure if the rat he's on is white or something like that. So there's some light aspect. And so then they're all kind of... So one is talking about, yes, when you see the dhobi coming, you know, with all the clothes that are nice and white and clean, you feel happy because now you have something new to wear. So that's one. Another one, then finally, all of them said the different things. And the final one, he says that he translated it so it came out as daiwada. You know, when you see the white on top and all that, and you become happy, the auspiciousness. And yeah. So it's just one of the fun things they do. So here, he's doing it so that it ends up with these two meanings, so you get these two aspects. And so you have the poetics here. Like that. And so then you see is that Krishna Dwaipayana Vyas or that this. So the way he uses the words, just like you were saying, you know, yeah, you know, and it's just like, yeah, I was thinking, you know, we should do something. Now, how many directions can that go? Yeah, so it's the same thing. Like that. So the poetics, it does like that. Is that okay? Okay. So by carefully using certain ambiguous words, Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan has composed this verse so it has two distinct meanings. Because he wanted both of them to be there. One is that because the Bhagavatam, because it's a knowledge coming from Bhagavatam, and then Parikshit Maharaj is the one it's spoken to, and then Krishna himself personally took care of him and protected him. You know, so that's the, you have the aspect of Poshanam and all these different aspects of there. Then we see the other is that then now the about these false logicians, which the text is dealing with. And so it has both of those, because it's dealing with those false texts, but it's dealing in such a way that it's about Srimad, like Srimad Bhagavatam, because that's the actual. So then both of those are. So instead of having to write two, he wrote one. You know,
that. Well, I was just wondering whether, because the words that have been involved were here in Mangalacharan refer to Parikshit Maharaj and Sudarshan and Krishna, nowhere refers to Krishna, Upanishads or something.
It means to do this kind of stuff, you have to have a good vocabulary and know the meanings.
What did you say?
Yeah, I have the same problem. She's trying to figure out which words are the ones that go between both of them. So you just have to know.
It actually doesn't go.
Huh?
It actually doesn't go. So we're expecting that.
No. Wait. Right here. Never do that ever again. Never do that again. When our acharyas have done this, and they've written, and they get these things, and then you say it doesn't go because of your particular university Sanskrit, we have to understand, in India, for the traditional, those who go to Gurukul and learn by the traditional kind of system, what you learn in university and stuff is actually about third grade Sanskrit. Now, if you've taken it beyond that, all glories. But we have to understand is that words have multiple meanings, how you use them, the context you use them in. Right? Never, ever, ever say anything like that, that your intelligence is greater, your knowledge of Sanskrit is greater than the acharyas. I hate it when devotees do that. And fortunately, it's one of the things, it means even though we don't have hate, it's one of the things we can do. I really don't like it. You know, or Prabhupada saying that in the Bhagavatam, that, what was his name? The father of Vishru, he did the yajna. Tosta, yeah, and he said the syllable wrong, and I forget what it is, he said it long or he said it short, and then all these ISKCON Sanskrit grammarians, and they all, you know, toss their 2 cents in, because in America when you say 2 cents, that means not very much, and so they throw in their 2 cents, no, but here in the grammar, this, that, and they start pulling out all the grammar that they know, you know, like that, and it doesn't mean that, so I don't know what Prabhupada's talking about here, because Prabhupada's talking about, when you do a yajna to bring about a demon, you don't use classical Sanskrit, you use Vedic Sanskrit, and that Sanskrit would be from the Atharva Veda. Atharva Veda uses the same markings as the Rig Veda. It has unique markings that it takes short syllables, and by the marking, you chant them long. So they're chanted a different tone and long instead of at a middle tone and short. And so he either did one or the other. And so it's there. And so what little bit of Sanskrit they know, then they say, oh, this is not that. You know? Like that. I had a god brother that he retranslated the word for word and stuff, you know, in the Gita, because he felt Prabhupada didn't do it properly, because, you know, he had Moni or Williams dictionary, and so now he's the authority. So we have to understand is that the broad usage of the words, right? Because here he used the terms arrows. Now, what is it, an arrow? The Brahmastra is an arrow? As such, physically an arrow? No. It's generally launched with an arrow. But here, then, we're using arrow to mean that it's an obstacle, that it's something that's bothering, that it's something that's creating a disturbance. So there's a poetic meaning here. And if you can't appreciate that, then don't comment. It's poetry. They're using these broad words. You're saying it doesn't, but somehow or another, the person who translated it did find that.
Drona means the crow. And then all else follows. Parikshita means it's like deep analysis. And then the rest also follows in the same line. Sudarshan means the auspiciousness, bringing out Lord Vyasadeva made Upanishad free from all sufferings.
Yeah. Because Sudarshana can mean Sudarshan chakra, but also Sudarshan just means auspicious darshan. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that they're able to use them like that. So never, never, never put your scholarship up against the acharyas, because it won't fly. But,
yes. Which language it was written by Bhagavad Gita? Classic Sanskrit?
Yeah, it means all this is done in classical Sanskrit.
And
the means the text that is writing on the Upanishads, that's Vedic Sanskrit.
And Vyasadeva original.
It's in classical Sanskrit. Yeah. That's why you can chant it anywhere you like.
So we can say that only Upanishads are in Vedic.
The whole Veda, the Veda.
So Brahmanas are in Yasa.
That generally they'll be written in the classical to bring out the thing. The ones that have the markings that you have a certain tonal quality to, that's all. So the Upanishads themselves and the Veda Samhita themselves. Mm-hmm. But now in the Brahmanas and Aranyakas, they'll be quoting from the Samhita section of the Vedas, mm-hmm. how to apply this verse in this section, that verse in that section. Is that something? See, is that the whole point is that if we don't have this one-pointed determination to follow the acharyas, we're not going to get anywhere. That's the whole point. This class here is known as, what is it called? Amnaya Tattva Niryas. That's the name of this parallel course. I don't remember what the one is on Prabhupada's books, but that's the name of the course. It's within this, but it's in other words, there's two courses going on. The one of Prabhupada's books going through, and then the ones that are analyzing the same work. So in that, then, the whole point is about Amnaya means what's coming down in Parampara. So it's given there, Krishna's given it, the scriptures that comes down through the Parampara, through our acharyas to us. So that's Amnaya. Right? So the knowledge of that, and the Niryas means your discussions of it, your things like the exposition on that. So that's what we're doing. But it's, the whole point of this is all the various, we're seeing the point and seeing it from all the different angles that the acharyas give, the vichar, but in such a way that we can see how they're all harmonious. Like that. We should not come out of it seeing that there's a distinction, there's a difference. Like that. They're just bringing out different angles. You know, so it's like someone's talking about the furniture and how nice it looks. And then someone else says, yeah, and I got it on sale. That doesn't mean that now it's looking nice is not good because it's cheap. Right? Or say it looks very nice, then someone else says, yeah, it's also very comfortable. Because much of the time, looking nice and comfortable don't necessarily match, right? You know, so that come out, and so you have three different views here that are all of the same thing, just different aspects. That's what the acharyas are giving. There's never any time when they contradict each other. There's never any time when they don't have a connection to each other. And if we don't see that, that's because of our lack of understanding. And so by the process of devotional service, then we can gain that. But we have to have that faith. That's why the first thing is the faith in the scriptures. Because unless that's there, nothing else will work. That's what we're meaning. That was the opening of the discussion, is that when we use the atheistic moralism as a social, strategy, then the difficulty comes is you're not starting with Shastra. It's not based on Shastra. It's based on my mind and my friends and what we all agree on. And then, if Shastra supports that, then that's even better. You know? But it's not about Shastra. Right? It's about ourselves. So we have to see that that's given up. It's about Shastra. Shastra says, so we have to try to figure out a way to make it work. You know, find the circumstance, find the this and that, and not like that. To some extent, yes.
a way to make it work for me that I've found is when there is always a time where each individual can see something about others that they cannot see. Like, you know, maybe they're just a child, or, you know, they're just so much absorbed in the situation, and you're outside, so you can see like that.
Yes, sir.
So, if you take that experience, then you understand how you, how the acharyas can see what you can't see.
Yes, yes, yeah, very good point. Very good. That's the idea of association, is because an association is each individual develops in a particular way. So in that area, they are able to offer that development to what's going on. And someone else has developed it another way, they can add that. So each one, according to their skill, then they can apply it in Krishna consciousness, and everybody else can get the benefit of that. So that's the idea of the association. So each one adds something. So in this, we can be an instrument in this, you could say, scholastic effort. But if we think that we know we're the authority, that's where the whole thing breaks down.
Mm. But when you're confident in, you know, what you're doing and what, then it's hard to understand that. But if
you're confident in that the knowledge and skills will get the result that you want, but it's for Krishna. So because it's for Krishna, then we maintain the humility.
Yeah.
It's for Krishna, and Krishna's the ability. Anyway, he's the knowledge, he's the skill, he's the process, he's the result. Mm. That's the thing, he's all these things.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's how you maintain the humility, by recognizing that there are those times where you've been in, can see that from the outside. So also
others can see that with you. Yes,
yeah.
Yes. What is it? Yes. Just one thing you never do is butt heads with the acharyas.
I thought maybe the verse is missing.
No. The whole point is the same thing he gets from there. That's the fun. It's just like Rupa Goswami in his prayers. I think it's Padyavali. I think of his prayers. There's one set of prayers. They're not so much connected to each other, but I think it's called Chitra something. Is that he wrote the verses in a design. So you can read it in all these different directions. Like that. And then another one where he just took one syllable, and by how he put it together, then it gives the prayers. It's just like nani nuni nino nani, like that. And the whole thing's like that. And it's all glorification of Govardhan. But you have to know root words, what they go, how they develop, how they do all the things. And so then it's just some fun, because they work in poetry. So now and again they come up with something.
Like in Padyavali, each verse describes different aspect of grammar. One on the chandas,
Root
words, one like this.
Yeah. So it's just like that, and there's so much that's there. So that's the whole point, is that there is the standard intellectual understanding that's there. Then there's the Gaudiya. Because the intellectual, that'll be used in a general sense, and that will be used most of the time. But the Gaudiya, because you're dealing with Braj, then these hidden meanings and all that, it's very standard there. Like in Vaikuntha, that everything's very straightforward and stuff like that is more the thing, because he's God, we're the servant, and this, here's some service. But in Braj, you have Mother Jashoda's there, the cowherd boys are there, the gopis are there, Krishna's there, you know, everybody like that, and so the gopis have to be able to say things that are talking about their rasa, but in a way that none of the others understand. So this aspect, and then also if you're going to sense that you're dealing with the feminine nature, has that element of contrariness, elusiveness, shyness, therefore the indirect works so much better. And so therefore you see it's very much part of the culture. So then to use these things like this is then very, very, you know, standard. It gives a taste.
Yes. Love is never described directly.
Yes, yes. It's always, because it's crooked. It's like the lightning. It's never straight. Even though it could be, it never is. Because the point is it's the process that's nice. It's not the result you're getting. It's about the process and the experience that comes from that. That you're trying to get a particular result, you have to keep it to that, so you follow that knowledge and that to perform. But it's not specifically about the result, it's the experience that the result generates. And so because of that, then that's the way it is. And so then you have all these things, and you take the words, use them differently, and so like that. And so they're just giving us a glimpse of what goes on there, and this is in line with Vedanta Sutra, and they can still make it nice. as a thing, you know, it's like, yes.
Maharaj, what is the difference between classical Sanskrit and Vedic Sanskrit?
Basically, most of the grammar is the same. I think there's about 3,000 sutras in grammar, right? So then that's common between the two. There's another 300 sutras that deal with the Vedic grammar. Because the Vedic grammar, then you have the aspect of, depending upon how the words connect together and what word is following what and the context you're using, then it gives different tonal qualities to each letter. So that you don't have in classical.
That means that particular tone cannot be changed?
No. If you change it, then it's not. That's why it can't be used in common usage, because people will change it to make it sound better. You know, just like, let's say, you have Bajahure Mana, right? But then, because it sounded better, then the artist did Bajamana Hure. You know, it's like, because it didn't work. Yeah, you know, it worked out for them better. So that's why it's not used, and it's only used ritualistically by those who are trained in it and those who won't change it. Does that make sense? So yeah.
So is poetry very much visible in our line, or in any Vaishnava line?
Yeah, any Vaishnava line is there, because it's one of the 25 qualities of devotees, are poetic. So you'll see that also in the descriptions or mangalacharas of that, any of the acharyas, that you'll see that. But with us, it'll have a certain subtlety that the others may not always do. Like that.
It looks like it's a very important part of devotional service to say.
That's why it's speaking nicely. That's why I said the mode of goodness is speaking nicely.
Yeah.
You know, giving authority, these kinds of things. That's the whole idea. Is that. So one tries to so appreciate. So when the acharyas then bring that out, so you don't necessarily expect it here in Vedanta Sutra, but they've given it. You know, you expect it somewhere else. And so but the point is they are who they are, and so then they you know, as they see fit. So it doesn't have to be so dry.
Really?
Sometimes it works like, let's say, counterfeit against the mundane wrangler.
Yes. That's the whole thing.
They would wrangle in another way.
Yes, like that. So you also see, as we get into after Vedanta Sutra, when we go into the Satsandarbhas, that here is that one thing is mentioned here, then another thing. Generally, if you make one point, then you make another point. But you see in the Sandarbhas, they can make the two points in one sentence. Talking about the material nature and how it works, and then the other half of the sentence is how the same thing, it's original. In other words, the material world being a reflection of the spiritual world, how it's working in the spiritual world. And then how it works here. So you'll see that. So it's just a matter of, if you can do more work with one thing, why wouldn't you?
If one can do it.
So that's it. So that they're just doing that, but in language. But it's not terse like Panini grammar. Because then you lose the flavor and you lose the understanding. So the poetic aspect is there, but if by using poetics you can get a double meaning, then why not? Like you see in the Bhagavatam, we'll get in the 11th canto, talking about deity worship. Then there's a verse there that is talking about two things at once. If you know deity worship, then you understand it's two different things. If you don't, you'll think it's just one thing. So, in other words, those who it's for them, they'll know. Those who don't, won't. It's like that. You know, if you say something, and then, you know, the other people don't understand, then you're happy. You know, then if they did understand, then you're in trouble. Right? You said something to your friend, you know, wow, and then the others didn't understand it, then that's great.
Sometimes they understand in a way which you even didn't meant to.
That's another thing. That's Gramya Katha. It's just, you said one thing. I'm going to the market. Oh no, you're going. What is he really going for?
And this was the kind of poetry which Baldev Vidyabhushan used. It's like, you know, it has a flavor of the Vedanta Sutra, the second, first line of the, sorry, first part of the second line, he used the word Shruti, which is referring to as Upanishad. And the same is indirectly inferred in the second part of the first line. There also it means the Upanishads are the Uttarashraya, means which answers all the queries. So it's indirectly inferred by stating in the second.
Okay, between the two. Okay. Yeah, so it means these are, it's very, one has to be very extra. If we could know more, it means if you know Sanskrit, you know Kavya, then all these things become very tasty. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, I think it was, I'm not sure if it was Srila Prabhupada mentioned or Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I mean, or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentioned, just about the sweetness, the niceness of Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know, what's being said, of course, is wonderful because it's about the Lord, but just the way in which the simpleness in which it's being stated, you know, the Bengali that's there, it's just so sweet and nice. You know, so from that, so we miss out on.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and he said people are going to learn Bengali to taste.
Yes, yes, so it's like that. So, yes. So there's so much that is there. Like that. So,
step by step.
Yeah, step by step. You know, so. Yeah, so that, then eventually. Because Prabhupada said all these different arts and sciences and knowledge will all be eventually reestablished. Because Krishna reveals, or you know, so they'll all be reestablished. So it'll all be there. But it's just, you know, right now, because we're so worried about, you know, modern corporate bureaucracy, that, you know, it's we're already getting a taste somewhere. We're not getting it from here. So then why should Krishna reveal?
So that's what's missing in the bureaucracy, that poetry.
Yeah, because it's what do you call it? Niyamagraha. It's just, this is the rule, this is the way it applies. They're not willing to adjust. Right? That's the whole point. One of the meanings of Niyamagraha is that here's the rule and you're not willing to go to the next higher level.
Yeah.
Okay, I've been at this level for 3 years and it was actually quite solid and I'm good at it. Now it's actually natural that I move on to the next level, but I'm not willing to. That's Niyamagraha. Mm-hmm. Or that I don't follow and establish myself in the level I'm at. And because I don't see the importance, that's also Niyamagraha. So that's a practical application of not understanding the rules, giving them up, or accepting the rules but not knowing what they're for. So in either case, is that you have this problem, is that we get stuck on a level because of our attachment. That's why I always use the term attachment, because someone would say, no, it's not attachment, we're being very intellectual. No, but we're attached to that particular style of intellectual application. We're not willing to move on. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So,
for example, if we speak about attachment to particular style, we all attach to Srila Prabhupada because it makes sense for us.
Yes, yes. But that's that attachment's okay.
Yeah, because when
it's material attachment that's the problem. That we're engaging our conditioning, let's say, like, we like using, you know, being involved in the intellectual area, then that's fine, because we're doing it in connection with Krishna, so we're studying Bhagavatam and these things like that. So that's just an area where we are comfortable to function, so that's fine. But if we're attached to the intellectual aspect of it, that's where the problem comes. We're comfortable working in that area. You know, that's the difference. Like that. So the neophyte is attached to it, that's why they're doing it. And it's connected to Krishna. The Madhyama is not as much attached to the process and results that you get from it, but it's more that it's just an area that they're comfortable in, so they'd rather work in that area. Does that make sense? Well, the Uttama is that you want to please Krishna, and because you have particular abilities, then that's what you're going to use for Krishna. But it's just about Krishna. So you see, it's a natural development, so that between the three levels, it doesn't change what you're doing. It doesn't change that. It just changes the perception you have of it, how you identify yourself, how you see Krishna, all these things. So that's why we're saying it's just a change of consciousness. So if one is following a pious lifestyle, it's just a change in consciousness. You know, actually, nothing else has to adjust. Because you're already following the pious lifestyle. And maybe some minor adjustments instead of reading, you know, Devi Bhagavat, reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Like that. But that we have a guru, we have authority, we have parampara, all those things still remain in place. You know, that all this is done in the morning and you get up and take your bath. So all these things stay in place. Whether you're coming from karma or jnana, but now you, the bhakti is brought in. So then the lifestyle remains. Right? So we're starting off that we're following the lifestyle of karma and jnana. And then we're adding bhakti. But with time, it'll be it's bhakti, and it just is using these forms because they're originally from bhakti. Now, when you're functioning below the human standard, now there, it's still a change in. So you may require a change in lifestyle, but it's only going to happen when you change the consciousness. You change the consciousness, then you'll be seeing the need of adjusting the lifestyle. So that's why in either case, there's the only need to do is change the consciousness. Now, due to attachment or due to misunderstanding, we say, Prabhupada said you only need to change the consciousness, so I don't have to change my lifestyle at all. But then that's attachment, because the point is naturally you would. You'd want to do what the devotees do. You want to do that. No, but I don't want to do that. People may not, you know, this and that. That's why you see it. It brings it out many times in the pastimes of the Lord, how the gopis, despite the social environment, they would go forward, while others wouldn't. And so then you see, what was that? The wives of the Brahmins, they went forward, but the husbands didn't. They thought, I should go and surrender to Krishna. But they thought that Kamsa, you know, his dad, they may see and then we'll get in trouble. The wives didn't care. So that's brought out many, many times. Is that, yes, you can do that, and that's it follows it, but then that means the social customs are more important than Krishna. So you fit Krishna into your social customs. And you're fitting Krishna, so that's good. But one should never think that it's the same as moving forward. You know, so, like that. That's the whole point. Is that, yes, when you start the artwork, you start with simple lines and pencil and all that. But to say that, you know, we don't moving forward into, you know, oil paints and that's artificial and, you know, we're a third grader, so we just use, you know, pencils and, you know, stuff like that. You know, we don't do that kind of stuff. Because that's attachment. So that generally we speak about it on the level of karma, like that. And we're applying the jnana simply to, you know, these persons here are modern academics. But we still have to be careful is that the apara vidya only becomes, identifies apara when it's seen in line with the para. But when we see it on its own and its own importance, like here, glorifying the Lord in various ways, that's the actually importance of that's being given here. But if we see it that the grammar itself is the important thing, then it becomes avidya. It no longer has that transcendental connection. Grammar stays the same. Knowledge is the same, but the effect it will give will be ignorance rather than transcendence. So that's what we're having to deal with, is that the Lord's energy is one energy, but depending upon whether we're seeing a connection to Krishna or not, it gives two different effects.
Okay. Yes.
Some devotees, they complain, they say that we already changed so much from a sinful lifestyle, we became, you know, like following the 4X, trying to chant, trying to maintain the families and Krishna consciousness simultaneously, which is quite difficult to balance. And then the finity of the Vaishnava culture, especially Gaudiya culture, we have this body, it's prarabdha karma, it's not going to change. So we don't have the means and time to do that. So better we invest into sadhana bhakti and then stay as we are, because it's not going to change anyway. So why try and time into that, because the result may not come or minimum.
But then we see is that it's a lack of faith in the process, because they're not sure if the result will come.
Yeah.
But if they have the faith that the result will come, then why won't they do it? Just like if you don't have faith in business, why would you do it? So in other words, where your faith is, that's where you'll apply. So it's not a matter of, you can't change it, just like, okay, you've worn your favorite shirt now for 3 days, and so now is it a matter of you can't change it by washing it? The change we're looking for is washing it. Not that you have to take buttons off or put them on or sew up the pocket or something. You know, cut the sleeves off. So the whole point is you can't. We're not saying that you'll change it, but we can say you can purify it. You know, so you're going to eat food, so offer it to Krishna. And since you're offering it to Krishna, why not purify your method that you use? Wash your hands, keep it clean, don't sit there and eat and cook at the same time. And, you know, these kind of things. So these things don't take more time. You know, so it's just a matter of seeing to that. You go to the bathroom, you know, you wash, you clean it yourself afterwards. So that aspect is that we see that and then we appreciate that. And so then, because the mode of goodness will make it easier. See, mode of passion and ignorance, we're saying it's so hard because of passion and ignorance. Goodness, things become much more clear and very easy and obvious. Because in a day, yes, there's only a certain amount of time, but also how do we use that time? You know, because we could spend 4 hours, you know, how you say, looking through Facebook. Right? Or we could spend, you know, 20 minutes just going on, seeing what's there, and then any relevant where we see that there's some, you know, wisp of Krishna consciousness. You know? So we go there. Otherwise, just for interest's sake, we could spend 4 hours, and then because we spent 4 hours, now there's no time for anything else, so how can we do all this when there's no time? No, we could say, no, but I need that. Then you have to find a recreation that is not going to get in the way. Because that says you're eating, sleeping, working, recreation, these have to be regulated so that then you can progress. Because if you don't, you can't be a yogi. So it's just a matter of finding what works. You eat too much, then you sleep too much. And then that takes time. So you have to eat the right amount, the right food, the right time. And these things are there. It just, it improves the quality of life. In fact, if you look on these self-help, this and that, they'll be saying these things. A lot of really successful people who are really doing things in the world, they get up early like we do. And we'll say, oh no, but this is fanatic. And like, yeah, if you want to just be the local duffer who, you know, works at his job and nothing, like you said, nothing changes in 30 years, then yeah, that's there. But the guys that actually move forward, they get up what we do. They don't get up and chant japa. You know? But they found that if they get up at this time, go to bed earlier, get up at this time, then everything in their day goes better. So it's the Vedic culture is designed for prosperity. Dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Right? And it's worked in, it's part of the things. In the modern, it's not part of it. You know, it says life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It doesn't say anything about money.
Pursuit of
pursuit, yeah, it doesn't say you'll get it either. That's a very good point. Pursuit of happiness doesn't mean you'll get it. Like that. Yes. Is that? So it's just if someone's thoughtful, then they can see they can get that little bit more because it doesn't take much. You know, reading, okay, if you can sit down and do a few hours, that's great. But if not, even if you just do 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, it'll have an effect because every day you're coming in contact, you're seeing how it goes, you start to see a pattern there in what Krishna's saying, what's going on in the pastimes, all these different things. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, is it correct to define the main issue in such a situation that usually we think that Krishna consciousness is a part of our life? Rather than we're the part of Krishna's life.
Yes, but it'll always start that way. It'll start with Krishna consciousness is part of my life, then it'll be Krishna consciousness is my life. But it just takes time. Because as long as we see things that we're doing separate from Krishna, then Krishna will be part of our life. Because that part of Krishna consciousness, like Prabhu was saying, doing our sadhana and things like that, then that part, that's Krishna consciousness. And the rest of it's not. It's my life. But when we start seeing that everything we're doing, how it's connected to Krishna, and how Krishna, that's the whole point of Krishna being everything. He's the cause, he's the effect, he's the ingredient. So whatever you're dealing with being Krishna, then that means you can connect to Krishna. So that naturally the thing is now if Krishna, this form, the material energy is Krishna's potency, and therefore I'm dealing with Krishna, so how does Krishna in this form, would he be dealt with? right? No, like a book, you know, you deal with the book in a certain way. A deity, you deal in a different way. But they're both Krishna, right? So therefore, what do the rules say about how you deal with the books or how you deal with the deity? So how do you deal with your toaster? So, you know, what's the proper thing? How do you deal with it? If it's Krishna, you're going to put it nicely. When you use it, you're going to put it back so it looks nice. You're going to keep it clean. You know, you're going to make sure it's working nicely. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to do things that you shouldn't do, like try to make a grilled cheese sandwich inside your toaster. You know, it's just not going to work. So you'll follow the rules that govern the toaster, because the toaster is Krishna, the result that you're doing is Krishna, the ingredients that are there is Krishna. So you're all doing that to please Krishna. So how is Krishna consciousness not your lifestyle? So it's just a matter of seeing. So these tools are given. If you can just remember Krishna straight without this intellectual aspect, then that's perfect. But these are tools that you can engage them. Because we're thinking that Krishna consciousness is one thing and material world is something completely separate. We forget that he is the all-pervading. So it all is him, and he's the regulator of it. That's Paramatma. So it's Brahman and Paramatma. It's all him. But the point is he as Bhagavan is separate from this. Separate mean as a personality. He's beyond this. So he includes that. So that means he includes that and more. Does that make sense? You know, what do you call it? Brahman, Paramatma, and beyond, right? You know, like that. So he includes it all. So then we see is that I'm using Brahman, Paramatma things to please Krishna's Bhagavan. And why would I use that like that? Because if I say, oh, that's only Bhagavan, but the point is Bhagavan is the enjoyer, so everything else is serving him. So what's serving him? The Brahman and Paramatma aspects. So that's why that's what's used as the medium. We always use these as the medium. Does that make sense? So we may know it here as Varnashram or Shastra conjunctions and all that, but actually it's just the aspect of Brahman and Paramatma of the Lord, because he's the regulator. He is everything. So that's what Shastra is defining, how he is everything and how he regulates everything. And then, indication of Bhagavan. Does that make sense? So that's then what's being given. So for us, then Varnashram is one of the ways that you're defining how Brahman and Paramatma are pervading everything, you know, that it within the context of human life. But Varnashram only applies in humans, and how humans then deal with everything. It doesn't apply to others. Like, monkeys don't follow Varnashram. Right? Does that make sense? So they follow, but they're following the laws of God. They have their own system. Overview of Adhikaranas. 1. The atheistic Shankya philosophy refuted. 1 and 2. Yoga refuted. The Vedas are eternal and infallible. Nothingness is not the first cause, right? Because you're trying to look for something where it goes back to, and since you can't get back to anything, you'll just keep going. So if there's nothingness, then you tend to stop there. Like that. But the point is, if you have a person, you can also stop there, right? Rejection of remaining philosophies, right? Means after doing with this, then whatever's left, then you're going to deal with. You know, it's like means after wiping out everyone, then you say, announce anybody else, you know, then they run off, right? Yeah, so. Oneness with the Jiva. Transformation by word. Jiva as creator. You know, so what's the actual position of this? Greater powers of Brahman. Scripture is the source of knowledge. Endowment of all Shaktis. Is the Lord without senses. Action because of Leela. Partiality and cruelty in the Lord. No divisions of karma. The Lord favors his devotees and endowment with all qualities. So all these things are being established here. Because these are the points on which philosophies get distracted. Does that make sense? So that's why these Adhikaranas are given. Is that these are ways you'll get distracted. You understand each of these nicely, then you don't get distracted. Right? So this is the Adhikarana in this pada.
Huh?
In this pada or in this chapter?
In this
chapter.
Particular pada, we have the 17 Adhikaranas which you have listed.
But this is in this pada?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Like that. So then, depending on what it is, it's more or less. So like that, then you end up with so many. Like that. Okay. Adhikarana Anushasana. Summary of thematic Adhikaranas. Adhikaranas 1 to 3. Sutras 1 to 6. So that means, atheistic Shankya philosophy refuted, yoga refuted, and the Vedas are eternal and infallible, right? So in other words, there's a connection between those. They're using a common theme to establish this, because they're making one point, but you can get all these different aspects from more than this one point. So their refutation of Shankya and yoga on their perspective about the Vedas, right? Does that make sense? So they have a perspective on the Vedas, that there's a problem, and so you have to correct that. That will also then correct any of the problems with Shankya and yoga. So, because you generally see that Nyaya Vaisheshika, they have a connection. Then Yoga and Shankya, they have a connection. Okay. Like that. Yes. So, yeah.
2 by 2.
Yeah, they go 2 by 2. Like that. They're separate, but they're kind of connected. They so take support from each other. So like that. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki.
Jai
Nityananda Gaura Prema.